morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning, Salem. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to KSLM, Reliable News Talk Radio. Glad to be along with you on this wonderful Thursday, 7:06 in the morning. And how are you doing today? Oh, I have to tell you, I am sore and I'm feeling good as we are trying to do this walking to running, right? I'd like to do, and my goals is do like a 5K. And I have been, every day we've been working towards that goal. And yesterday took a break, just did a 30-minute walk instead of walking, running. And I'm sore today. But boy, you know, it's good to be able to see some progress when we feel like it's Groundhog Day and we're doing the same thing over and over again. It's good to do some things different and set some new goals. And that's something that I know that I can do and see some progress in. And whatever you're doing today, may you be encouraged by tuning in this morning. So glad to have you along. We are news that you can use. We're here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you. And we really want to hear from you. In fact, if it's your birthday today, happy birthday to you. And if you know someone that has a birthday coming up, we'd love to do a shout out to them in the morning. Send me their birthday, their name, and let me know. You can email me at Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at KSLM News. And looking at the headlines across the Marion County, Polk County, the area today, there's some good news for small businesses. Marion County adds $800,000 in grants for small businesses. This program went live through Willamette Workforce Partnership at noon on April 9th, and within the first few minutes, there were enough applicants to fully exhaust all $200,000 set aside for this program. The grants for up to $5,000 were for Marion County businesses with five or fewer employees experiencing economic impacts by COVID-19. Polk, Marion counties will also waive the 2021 restaurant licensing fees due to COVID-19. And so if you're interested in getting involved in grants for your small business, or you know a small business owner, let them know. I know in Yamhill County, their board of commissioner has approved $250,000 in emergency grants for their local businesses. So that's news that you can use on this wonderful Thursday. Also, don't forget Chemeketa Community College. They're offering free online courses to high school seniors. So if you have a senior who's met their high school graduation requirements, they're in good economic standing, and they have access to computer, laptop, and Wi-Fi, they can apply by May 4th. Set for 15 general educational transferable courses. It's Bolt to Chemeketa. Look for that on their website and get registered for that. And coming up on April 28th is a registration deadline for our May 19th primary. And I encourage you, if you are registered, if everything is done through the mail here in Oregon, you may want to go online and double check through your county that you're at or the state secretary of state site. Make sure your registration is current. They're going to be sending out the ballots. And yesterday I received in the mail my little pamphlet on who is running for election. And we'll, as we get closer to the primary, we'll be talking a little bit more about who the candidates are and getting that information out to you. Well, because we are in such an interesting time in our life, I don't remember a time like this since 9/11, really, where everything was rearranged and changed up. I've been trying to bring guests that can bring value to your day-to-day life and get us thinking about where we're at. And yesterday, of course, we talked about our health and what we can do to build up our health and be strong and have our immune system really strong. And today I'm bringing on a guest who's a friend, and it's just incredible. He's an Oregonian, actually. Found out in South Dakota that we actually went to the same high school together. And he's a businessman. He's a dad. He's a husband. He's incredible American and patriot. And he's very valuable. He has some insight that I think will be valuable to all of us here today. And I want to give you a little background about Nick Reed. He grew up in the Portland metro area, attended a school at Sprague High School. He also attended University of Oregon in Portland State and was involved in local and statewide politics before moving to the upper Midwest in the 90s. He's been a political speech writer an advisor for state and national politicians, and is currently a high school debate coach in Rapid City, South Dakota. He's also a business owner. He owns Pure Bean Rotisserie and Coffee House, which U.S. Today named the best shop in South Dakota for 2018 and 2019. And moreover, Nick, I'm so glad to have you here with me. And you are probably one of the most amazed when you look at the Constitution. And what I love about you is that you are a patriot. You love our Constitution. You love our country. And you're always putting great things out on social media to get people to provoke our thought process. Welcome to the morning show this morning. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much, Stacey. It's good to talk to you again.
Yes. And Nick, you know, when we look at what's going on, and I'm sure, in fact, I saw a meme this morning on my social media feed that said, let's get Oregon green again and get rid of brown. We are in an interesting place here in Oregon, and it's a philosophy that believes that the governor is more kind of in charge and should be more of a dictator and telling us what we should or shouldn't do versus someone who really embraces the Constitution, as your Governor Noem has, and says, no, it's more of a local control issue. And it's interesting, some of the things that you have put out on social media about facts and statistics and getting us to think outside the box. And I know you and I both know Kristi Noem, and certainly keeping her up in our prayers and things. But I just thought it was interesting you having that connection as well to Oregon as I do, and then also having the connection to South Dakota. I thought maybe we could talk a little bit about that and why it's important to have a perspective of us really knowing our Constitution. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, as far as Oregon goes, and this has really always been the case, although I think it's becoming more so now, there's a big difference between those who live on I-5 and those who live somewhere else. And that's always really been the case. And that's, you know, I mean, as you know, in South Dakota, there's a difference between East and West here as well. And the biggest difference, I think, in a lot of states is that here in South Dakota, there are a number of the fairly loud voices that are yelling for Kristi to step up and take control and make everyone stay at home and all of those kind of things. But Kristi is the kind of person, and thank God that she's there, that stands up and says, no, I'm not going to do that. That's not in my authority. I cannot order that, and I'm going to leave it up to municipalities. And the municipalities have done what they believe was correct, although I would have some wrestling matches with our current mayor or some of the steps that he's taken. But that's really it. I mean, I think that it's probably not a lot different even in Oregon, where I think there's always been, I was having this discussion with somebody in the last few days about that pioneer spirit that lives so much in the Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
And how, you know, I think that's, it's still there. It still exists. People still think that way. People are still very much individuals. But it is moved away from that enough that things like this can take hold a lot easier. And it really comes down to your governor believes that they have the power to do whatever they want. And there are enough people to support that it happens. And here that's not the case. I think that if Kristi believed as the governor of Oregon does, it would be a different story. But thankfully she doesn't.
Well, and I think she's a great role model for
Absolutely.
Other governors. You know, you think about, you know, women in politics. It's always been such an interesting issue because if you're a Democrat, you're esteemed in my perspective. But if you're a Republican, you're like anti-woman if you're a woman in leadership. It's this whole feminist
right.
idea that, you know, and you think the feminist folks would get really excited about having women, regardless of what their party is, and stand behind supporting them, right? Because it is an uphill battle for many women to take those leadership responsibilities. And I've just admired Christy in her strength and her local, her ability to look at an issue and not look at it necessarily through Republican or Democrat eyeglasses. You know what I'm saying? And that's something else that I really appreciate about you, Nick, is that you look at an issue and you look at it, what's good for the people, irregardless of who's behind it. And we have a lot of non-affiliated voters right here. And with your background in grassroots organizing and politics and stuff, you know, Oregon really needs to get organized. Our people that are more libertarian, the folks that are a constitutional focus, whether they're Republican or Democrat, we need to get, we need to really focus on reaching the non-affiliated voters. How would you recommend doing that? Knowing the climate of Oregon, what would be your best idea on how to do that?
You know, I think that Oregon has an advantage in the sense that the South Dakota doesn't, in that this is, this state, and I mean, I'm a registered independent, although I certainly lean conservative, but this state is completely and wholly controlled by the Republican machine here, and there's no getting around it. Mm-hmm. And so even if you agree with them, if you are an independent and not a Republican, you're the enemy, and they will, and they'll push you to the side. I think in Oregon, it's a, while you still have a strong power base there, on the other side of the aisle, I think there's enough of a variation there in the state. I think that you've got, like I said, there's a big difference in mentality along the I-5 corridor, as compared to the rest of the state.
Yeah,
which makes it's hard because the people that you need to reach are much more spread out.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and that's good.
That's exactly right. And you made a comparison earlier, the East River, West River thing. You know, our rural areas are very conservative in Oregon, but we don't have the numbers compared to the urban areas that seem to have control and continue to reelect folks that represent those specific areas. And what I'm seeing is, and I went to a legislative coffee of actually a classmate of ours went to Sprague, Senator Denise Bowles. She had a legislative coffee, and she had both. She had people there, I think, non-affiliated voters. She had Democrats and Republicans there, and she just talked about how frustrating it is in the Capitol, you know, because everything is scripted, because there's so much supermajority of Democrats that the Republicans can't even represent their local folks. And it's all scripted. So even if you brought testimony in or whatever, and I stood up and I said, look, we need to start coming together and we need to find real solutions for real life right now. And we need to put aside the differences and come to solutions. And we'll continue this conversation because it was an amazing morning. And Nick, thank you for being with us this morning. Hang on. We'll get back to some more great solutions when we get back. You're listening to KSLM, Reliable News Talk Radio, news that you can use, talking about strategy and life and liberty and how to stand strong during these uncertain times. We'll be back after this. Good morning, Salem and area. If you're in Silverton, Turner, Monmouth, Independence, Woodburn, Jervis. Good morning to you all. I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to KSLM, Reliable News Talk Radio, news that you can use on this Thursday. And I am so excited to have along with me my friend Nick Reed, who is from Oregon, actually lived here, and now he's been in the upper Midwest. And Nick, I remember meeting you at church and finding out that you had ties to Oregon. I think I might have tried to make my way to you and Holly and go, what about Oregon? Where are you at? You know, where are you from? And just having that connection away from home and working, having you work alongside and your willingness and your helping me when I ran for Senate, which I didn't win, the state Senate, but you were certainly instrumental and helpful in that. And you've helped and come alongside so many people. And your insight is valuable. And I just want to have you share with our listeners a little more about kind of the inside game as you see it, especially as a business owner. You've the last 5 or 6 years, how long has it been since you started the Pure Bean coffee experience there and now you sold it all over the country? How long has that been? And tell me a little bit about what this economy and kind of shutdown has done to your business there in South Dakota.
Well, we started roasting about 7 years ago. I mean, that was sort of the, we started just as a roaster, as a small roaster, and then opened the coffee house a little better than 4 years ago. And it's been great. I started with a business partner and I started this. He is now left and moved on to Kansas City where he was from. And so I'm running the whole kingdom here for Pure Bean.
Wow.
But it has been, it's been difficult. I mean, we're in pretty good shape. As far as going into this, I think we are in a better position than a lot of businesses. The governor, essentially said, I'm going to leave it up to municipalities to make their decisions. And the mayor of Rapid City decided that he was going to shut down all of the restaurants and businesses and all those things that were non-essential as deemed by him and the city council. So it's been difficult. And I just to just to throw out to my level of frustration, there are currently 3 active cases in the 5 counties of the Black Hills.
Wow.
3. And everything is shut down.
Incredible.
So, I know. And it's been hard. You know, the thing is that you have to get creative. We're still doing, curbside pickup and that kind of thing. We are, the coffee house is very limited. You know, we have limited staff, which helps, I guess, in the outgo part of finances. So it's the coffee house could go like this for a while and survive, largely because I had 10 employees and now I have 2. The roastery side of it, because like you said, we're roasting coffee for coffee shops all over the country. This is really just a lot of crickets. I mean, we're getting a fair number of online orders and things like that, retail orders, but it's been pretty quiet, and it's difficult. I mean, my heart goes out to the small business owners out there who have big loan payments and mm-hmm. all of those kind of things, and that aren't as established as we are. I can't imagine, having started a business this last fall or, within the last 4 or 5 months, trying to get things going and then running into this, extremely difficult.
Have you looked into or are you thinking about getting involved with a payroll protection plan through the SBA?
Absolutely.
Yeah. How was that process for you? Because that, whether you have a business, no matter in the country where you have a business, filing for that, was that pretty involved? Was it tough to do?
No,
what's your process?
It wasn't overly involved. And, I mean, for me, it is the government says you can't do business and then buys back your loyalty by saying, we're going to give you back money that you've already given us. Jeez, thanks for that. But so many of us need it to survive. It's not a laborious process. They said there was initially a $10,000 grant that they said would be paid in 3 days, and it was about 16 days, I think, before I got it. That I have gotten, the bulk of the economic disaster loan is still going through. There were, you know, just thousands and thousands and thousands, I think you said in the news before this, that a program opened up and it was basically taken up in no time. And that's really the way it is. These businesses jump in the middle because they have to. I mean, I have a lot of friends in the same industry and everybody's struggling. I mean, it's hard all the way around. On the one hand, I say to myself, you know, I appreciate that the SBA has opened up these opportunities and made it relatively easy, although it's not fast, but relatively easy to apply. On the other hand, I would rather just do business.
Right. And I think that's kind of what everybody wants to do, is kind of get back to work. You know, I believe local decisions are always best, but lockdown nanny state, they treat us like kind of untamed animals. And there really is no need for that. I think it's a time to get back to living. Lady Liberty is a beautiful asset to the American way of life, but we must start to stand strong and be brave, or we'll lose too easily what our founding fathers worked so hard to create, a foundation of freedom. Freedom, paid by years
Absolutely.
Of sacrifice, right? And so helping and encouraging one another in business. I know here a lot of the local coffee shops are shut down, but anybody that has a little hut, a drive-through hut, they seem to be doing all right. And when I drive around to go to my essential services, it has been like this for a long time here. I mean, it's been like 6 weeks we've been locked down here, and they tell us, go for a walk, enjoy the fresh air. But there's nowhere to go. Everything's shut down. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio. News that you can use on this Thursday. We're talking with Nick Reed, getting his perspective on where we're at. When we come back after this break, we'll talk about getting back to living our life in liberty and pursuit of happiness. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new.
Good morning to you together on this April 16th. It's 7:35 in the morning. I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to KSLM Reliable News Talk Radio with news you can use. Follow us on KSLM Radio on our website, kslm.news. Here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you. And want to remind you, too, now that the stimulus checks are starting to hit the banks and maybe getting mailed out here down the road, there's all kinds of things popping up on your social media feeds, emails coming to your email saying, we'll help you, you need help. All these little scams going on, and maybe even phone calls to your cell phone. And I want to encourage you that you don't deal with any of that. Be aware. Be so very aware. You should deal directly with your small business loan bank if you're needing a loan for your business. If you have questions, go to irs.gov. Go straight to your state's government sites. But don't worry. Don't fall for the scams of people wanting to help you out, because they may take advantage of you. Looking at the numbers of COVID-19 here in Oregon, so far, since January 24, 33,351 tests have been run right here in Oregon. Out of that, 31,688 tests were negative. So that means 1,663 tests were positive. 58 deaths to COVID-19 in Oregon, 43 patients placed on ventilators. And it's an interesting time that we live in, that essential services such as dentists are closed down, but there is a free emergency dental clinic that will be running in Salem to help alleviate that. And so we want to let you know, if you need dental emergency services here in Salem, go to call Danny Sanders, 967-5574. And Pro Bioscience CBD hand sanitizer, manufactured right here in Salem, natural and super strength to help you, carry with you, in fact, is a wonderful resource for you. Be sure to go to probioscience.com, order yours today, or give them a call at 503-877-9877. And we have on the line with us Nick Reed. Nick, you know, who knew that essential services such as dental needs and getting your hair cut and things like that would be put on hold? But right here in Oregon and many other states, Planned Parenthood is still open. And I don't think abortions is an essential service.
that is definitely a sad irony.
It is a sad irony.
Goes along with us.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
my youngest son got his wisdom teeth out the last day the dentist office was open. So we were thankful for that.
Oh, and those wisdom teeth can cause a lot of grief. And I've heard people say that they're having some dental issues and things and can't even go and get those. And that's essential in my mind. Maybe not a cleaning, not so much, but other people waiting for hip replacements and other medical, which are, you know, life-altering things, that all of those have been put on hold. In fact, some hospitals are even laying off staff because they're not doing those extra procedures. And it's interesting. And when we think about these numbers here in Oregon, what you shared there in South Dakota, you know, there's such a media bias. When I'm looking at the mainstream media, which I don't spend a lot of time there because it's very frustrating to me. And I shared something earlier in the week on social media about the mockingbirds of all the talking points of all the mainstream. It's like they're getting their news. They're not even doing journalist work anymore. And I know you've posted a few things about looking at the numbers and it just doesn't add up. Share a little bit of your thoughts there and that process that you take of how do you analyze all of this information coming out to us?
Well, that's one of the things about being a debate coach, as I am, is that the biggest value to that idea and in debate in general is the fact that you have to be able to build a case on both sides of every issue. You have to be able to, because you're going to have to argue both sides from round to round, you have to be able to build as vehement a case for as against any particular topic. So you learn to be able to parse those things out, to be able to say, okay, let's get down to the real facts here. Let's cut through the conjecture and say, what are the actual numbers, and let me process those and see what actually happens. I mean, I wrote down exactly the same numbers that you just talked about a minute ago, that 33,351 tests in Oregon, 1,663 positive cases. So you can say there has been, you know, steady growth in the cases and deaths are rising and all those kind of things. Or you can say 95.1% of the people tested in the state of Oregon have come up negative. 3.5% of the people who have come up positive, it's been fatal with 3.5%. But of those who are sick enough to get tested, 99.83% of those people are fine. Ben Franklin said that there are lies, damn lies, and statistics. And that's the way you can take all of these things and you can twist them in any direction you want. And that's really where you take the numbers that you want to make it sound as scary as you can. You know, they talk about here in South Dakota that we have one of the biggest hot spots in the nation right now, and people are going crazy about that, and that our cases have you know, jumped through the roof in the last 4 or 5 days, which is true, because all of them are at one meatpacking plant in Sioux Falls. We have, you know, there are 1,100 cases here in South Dakota. 950 of them are in one town, and most of them are in one place of business. So it's all about how you parse things out and being able to step back and look at it. And that's why the response to what's happened has not only been wrong, but totally and completely misplaced. And it's because people don't look at the facts. They don't look at the numbers. They see pictures of three hospitals in New York that are overrun, even though the other hospitals in New York are fine.
Right.
And sending in supplies and helping out. The hospital here in Rapid City is empty. There's nobody there.
Wow.
I mean, there are hospitals around the country that are laying off nurses and nurses trying to find work because they've shut the doors to everybody but these expected throngs of COVID-19 patients that just have not happened. Half of the cases in the United States are in New York. Half of them.
Right. Yep.
That's the reality. And so it's about stepping back and looking at this in a realistic way. And I think as we go forward, I think people are, we're finally at the straining point where I think people can't take it anymore. And I think things are going to change. I mean, they've obviously, the governor of Texas has already announced that he is going to start opening things up and things are going to get back to normal-ish. And I think that's going to begin to happen over the next probably 2 to 4 weeks across the country. And if you look at, again, step back and look at the numbers, if you are under 60 years old, the chance, the mortality rate of those who get the virus who are under 60 years old, from 50 to 59, it's 1.3% mortality rate. 40 to 49, it's 0.4. And under that, it's 0.2. And under 10, it's zero. It's not even on the radar. It's so few. Well, beyond that, go ahead.
Well, I think that, and the reality is, when you look at those numbers, and in the urban, again, versus the rural, and when we think about the fear that's been peddled through the media, it's like the media is being a tool to get people to be in their homes, and this virus will come and go, but the government may not forget how easy it was to take control of our lives, sense, like, you know, taking away the sporting events, minimizing the classroom experience, eating out and connecting. How about churches, worshiping, having that freedom, and all of those things that we're protected by in our Constitution, we've just laid aside. And here's the sad part, I think, is that if we start standing or talking about Constitution, if we start standing about our rights and our freedom and our liberties, we sound like we're not compassionate to those, or we don't care about others because we may be carrying this virus and we're dangerous. We're it's that political correctness spirit, you know?
Yep, absolutely. And the thing about this is that if you look at it realistically, the people who are at risk are very identifiable.
Mm-hmm.
99.1% of the fatalities have been people with pre-existing conditions.
Yes.
Known pre-existing conditions. 99.1%. We also know, so if we can say, here are the people who have pre-existing conditions, they are at risk. And then as they get older, you can build the risk in even more. I mean, it gets greater and greater and greater. So, you know, I would love to be able to help those people at risk, but I can't because I'm locked in my house.
Mm-hmm.
That's where most of the people in the country are. And not only that, but the government has gone another $2 trillion in debt to help those people who aren't sick.
Right. And so the cure is almost worse than the actual virus to begin with. We've heard our president talk about that. Let's not the cure be worse. And the depression and the business owners feeling like failures. It's a tough time that we live in, but there is hope. We're going to continue the conversation after this, visiting with Nick Reed. You're listening to KSLM, Reliable News Talk Radio, with news that you can use. We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk with us on our studio line, give us a call, 503-589-1220. We'll be back after this.
Good morning. It's a good morning.
Good morning, Salem. Together on this April 16th, it's 7:50 in the morning. I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to KSLM Reliable News Talk Radio. Weather for today, mostly sunny. Temperature could get up to 70 degrees overnight, low in the high 30s. And the next couple days, the weather's going to be nice. 70s for tomorrow, and maybe rain possible on Saturday. On the line with me, I have Nick Reed. And Nick, I know you are an Oregonian at heart. You lived here, you went to school here, and you know how those rainy days can be. And coming back here and living here again, you know, I forgot how beautiful that slow drizzle can be. And actually, believe it or not, our rain is down the last few months. Our numbers are down, and that's an interesting thing for Oregon, because normally it rains a little bit every other day or so, but it's been beautiful. The weather's been great here, and I understand you've had some snow in your neck of the woods even this last week over Easter. That kind of keeps you indoors a little bit, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. This has been, they said in the newspaper the other day, this has been the second snowiest winter on record.
Wow.
Which I think if people were out and about a little more, you'd probably realize that. But that struck me as strange. And largely because you're just not fighting the snow like you normally would be.
Yes, and we were talking about the media and government and how the media is peddling fear before we went into the break. And I came up with a couple good quotes from presidents on both sides of the aisle, and I think this is interesting. Government is not the solution to our problems. Government is the problem. Do you remember what fine president said that?
Well, that sounds like something Ronald Reagan would say.
You got it. You got it. I'm kind of putting you on the test here, aren't I, a little bit? Yeah, having fun with Nick Reed this morning. We have another quote that I think is interesting, too, and I think it plays into where I want to go in our conversation next. Conformity is the jailer of freedom and the enemy of growth. Any idea on the other side of the aisle that could be from?
Boy, that is, I don't know. There's a lot of possibilities.
Yeah,
in that quote.
Yep, that one comes from President John Kennedy. He's our
That would have been, probably would have been my first guess. Who was much more Reagan-esque than people give credit.
I agree. And I remember in the 80s how criticized Reagan was, terribly criticized. And now even the Democrats look back and go, oh, he was such a champion, and they'll quote him and things now. It's kind of interesting how time is. And, you know, talking about the media and the mainstream media and how they're so biased and looking at the facts and the statistics objectively. And as we talked about Oregon statistics, you know, and looking at that, you know, we've had death. Yes, we've had over 1,000 positive cases, but we've had 33,000 people all together and only, you know, over 1,000 positive cases in our state. And I really think the media has a responsibility of how they give the information to people. And I've heard people say, you know, if we had the national media, if we had them timed out, you know, they closed down for 30 days, we'd watch 80% of the world's problems go away. Isn't there truth in that? You know, I love how you look at things, and maybe it's because you're a debate coach, and as you said, you like to build a case on both sides. And I think we get so tied into our own, you know, I call it kind of our own little holy bubble and our way of thinking. I think it proves good for us to look at how others look at things, right, in perspective, to try to gain an understanding of where are they coming from and why. Now, some people will argue with me, Stacy, it makes no sense. You're not going to change their mind. It's not so much about changing those who are entrenched in their philosophy's mind as if they're really engaging and wanting to make true change and come up with solutions, how can we get to that table? What suggestions do you have, Nick, to get people to come to the table and get to real life solutions?
Well, I think that it does come from the first of all, being able to look at both sides. There is one thing about being a debate coach and building debate cases and doing the research and all those kind of things is a lot of times we will have a resolution that comes up that we have to debate that I completely disagree with personally.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to write a case to defend it. And so you have to be able to say, listen, there's logic in all of these arguments. I understand the reaction of people with what's happening. I get it. There's it's real. and people's feelings are they're the real thing. You can't discount that. You can't discount the way people feel or say that it's not legitimate, because it is legitimate because people feel it. But you have to be able to say, I see your point. I mm-hmm. see what you're saying here. I get it. I understand. And I can, I could argue for your side as well, because I know the facts. I know where you're coming from,
mm-hmm.
but let's look at this another way. Let's compare this to the other side. Here are the facts. It's like, again, you can say 1,663 Oregonians have died because of COVID-19. And if that's all you know, you're thinking to yourself, that's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't take that in a bubble. You can't live in a bubble. And you have to, until you look at the other side and say, yeah, but let's draw the numbers out and look at the big picture. And to be able to say, listen, I would never say this is not an issue. I would never say this isn't an emergency, because I think it is, because it is serious.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. This is, you know, people throw things around like this is no worse than the flu. Well, yes, it is.
Yeah.
Let's be realistic. Yes, this is worse than the flu. But it is, the question is, how do you tackle it? How do you react to it? What do you do from here? Well, let's take the facts and let's argue just the facts. And that's where I think that if you can get past the conjecture,
right,
you can get past the, you know, past this is how I feel, so this must be true. When you can cut through those things and get to the numbers and the bottom, that's where the reasonable people will come out. And some people just don't care.
Well,
some people don't care about facts.
And that's exactly right. And the facts will dispel the fear. It'll put it into perspective.
Yep.
And doesn't mean that there isn't still a threat, but it puts that emotional part into check. And I think that's very important. Your thoughts on these, like Michigan, here in Oregon, there's some organization going on to go to the Capitol and stand strong against our liberties and rights being infringed upon. What are your thoughts on that? We've got about a minute so left, so go with that.
I think that's where we're at. I think that's where the country is moving, and I think there are people across the country that are poised for that. You and I both know that there's nothing that Oregonians like more than a good protest.
Mm.
And so, you know, that is it's only going to get bigger, and it's only going to get greater as this thing goes on. And I think that is one thing that is going to push to a real resolution.
Yes, and so be watching the next few weeks. I think Oregonians and that pioneer spirit is certainly raising up. Thank you, Nick Reed, for coming on the air with me this morning. Hope you'll do it again soon. Take care. You're listening to KSLM Reliable News Talk Radio. News you can use on this Thursday. Remember, my friends, no matter what's standing in our way today, what mountain we can go over, around, under, or through, we are overcomers. Have a wonderful Thursday, and we'll talk to you tomorrow morning.